What's going on, hockey fans? This is episode 71 of the Clappercast. We're going to be taking a look at the Metro Division off-season rankings. I'm Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Sean. Sean, what's going on today?
You know, you're going to learn more about this as we get through the episode, but I'm just kind of sitting in a low state here, reading, looking through the Metro Division off-seasons. It's not too promising for them.
Yeah, it's kind of a average class. There's no, like, high performer or... kind of bringing a whole new definition to the term average, I would say.
I think average is putting it nicely,
their
too.
Off season. Yeah. I guess I'm more prone to being a little nicer, as we discussed on some of the other division previews. I'm going to add a disclaimer that there's a lot of teams here that seem like they have a lot of RFAs that are still pending. So these grades could change. But based on where they're at right now, that's kind of where we're giving our assessment. And so with that out of the way, let's jump into the Carolina Hurricanes. Sean, what did you give them?
For the Carolina Hurricanes, I settled on a C-. They have a fairly solid roster. We've seen them do fairly well. We, you know, punch above their weight class for a couple of seasons with the system they have, but they had a couple of holes in the roster, that being depth scoring and goaltending. To address the depth scoring, they bring in Jesper Fast, who is a 30-point scorer. And to address the goaltending, they did absolutely nothing. And on top of that, they lose Joel Edmondson, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, and the potential of having Sami Vatanen in the lineup. He hasn't been re-signed yet, and it doesn't look like it this late in the offseason that he will be. And they bring in Joachim Ryan to replace that. So, you know, the roster isn't significantly worse. I think Carolina has the defensive depth to cover the loss of Edmondson and Van Riemsdyk, but they didn't bring in anything to make the roster better. And especially because one of the main things that was holding them back is the lack of secondary scoring and the inability for the team to have Aho, Teravainen, and Svechnikov play together, because they needed to spread that scoring around. They didn't do anything to really mitigate that, so they're not sitting in a much better position than they were last year, which is why they were slightly below average.
Yeah, I actually have that exact grade, C-. I have here in my notes... no goalie change, two thumbs down, because they were rumored to be in on Holtby and a couple other goalies, and I really thought that they were going to bring somebody in. I just don't know how much faith I have in that tandem, because they've got Reimer and...
Peter Mrazek.
Mrazek, right. And so we've talked about this, but this season... is looking to be like a compressed schedule, and so you need kind of two serviceable, kind of 1A, 1B is the optimal situation for this season. And it's not quite a San Jose where you've, you know, called that the 2A, 2B, but I'd kind of see this as like a maybe a what, like a 1.5 and a 2. I think they could have really improved on that this offseason, especially with the talent that was available, and they failed to do so. That defenseman depth leaving the organization sucks, and if Vatanen doesn't re-sign there, that was a risk, because they traded for him while he was hurt and he never really came back. I think he may have played like two games in the return to play or something. Maybe I'm mixing that up with somebody else, but never really saw too much action with the Hurricanes. However, they do still have Vinny Trocheck. So he'll be an interesting addition to the team for a full season. See if he kind of fits a bit better. He's not really an off-season addition because he came over mid-season, but...
I wonder if that acquisition will end up hurting their depth too, because they gave up guys like Eric Halla, Lucas Wallmark to get him, and they're both kind of 20, 30-point guys for them as well.
Yeah, we'll see how Trocheck fits in. I guess like 2 or 3C guy for them. C- for Carolina. Could have been worse, but could have been a lot better. I think they really could have cemented themselves as one of the top teams in the Metro if they got a good goalie, and they didn't. So we'll move on to Columbus, the Blue Jackets. I gave them... a little bit better. I gave them a C. I didn't really see them improving a whole lot. If Josh Anderson was looking for that level of contract, that was a good move by not signing him and trading him out for Max Domi. I think Max Domi will fit in really well on the team. Seems like a Torts kind of player, as long as they don't clash, off ice. But they really kind of just brought in Domi and Mikko Koivu, who, again, seems like a really good fit for the team. But at this point in his career, I don't know if he's going to be really making a huge impact outside of, things like leadership, which this team might need. But they also let go of Josh Anderson in that trade, and they bought out Wennberg, who me and you both agree looks like he has more to give than what he showed in Columbus. And they're also still have to sign Pierre-Luc Dubois, but they do have $9 million in cap space, and so I don't think he'll be asking for more than that, but I think they do have room to sign him. So I think this grade is kind of one of those ones. One of the reasons why I said that disclaimer is because depending on what he signs for, this could be a really good contract or a really bad contract, and that could really affect their offseason ranking. And so I kind of saw them as they do have a good team. They signed both those goalies to good deals, I think. They've got the best defense tandem in the league, or one of them, in Jones and Werenski. And so kind of middle of the pack for me. How about you?
I went a little bit lower. I gave them a D+, and I think this offseason was a real missed opportunity for them. I'm looking specifically at the Ryan Murray and Marcus Nuttavaara trades, that they dumped Ryan Murray for a fifth-round draft pick and Marcus Nuttavaara for Cliff Poo. And like that, they freed up freed up a lot of cap space, sure, but they didn't get anything back, and they didn't use that cap space to bring anything in. Now, maybe they were trying to make a big play on someone like Taylor Hall or Alex Pietrangelo, but that didn't work out, and then they just leave it. I think that's just a huge missed opportunity for a roster that could use a little bit of an improvement star power-wise. The trade for Max Domi, I think I agree with you. I think he's a good fit. He ends up, I think he's only a couple hundred thousand cheaper than Anderson, but at this point in their careers, Domi is way more productive than Anderson is. So it's a much, much more valuable way to spend that money. And Mikko Koivu as well. Yeah, I don't know if his knees are going to hold out very well in a Columbus type system, but it's a great leadership guy to bring in as a depth third, fourth line center, and a guy who's probably going to get some penalty killing time. But overall, I think it's just a huge missed opportunity, and I don't think they did anything to really improve the roster. And I honestly think the defense, like, they're okay. They're not going to be bad or struggling because they lost Murray and Nuttavaara, but I don't think it's better than it was before.
I guess one way to look at it is, how many games was Ryan Murray really going to play?
Good point.
Considering he gets hurt for a significant amount of the season every year, which is a shame. I think we've never really seen him develop how it was thought he would. They've got a functional D core. I really think that they're banking on, obviously, Jones and Werenski to play a lot of the time, but Savard can play a lot of the time. Gavrikov and Kukan have kind of shown they've, are serviceable. Yeah. I don't know a lot about Scott Harrington and guys below them. So if there's an injury, I think they could be in some trouble. We'll see if they have any more cap space after they sign PLD, and see if they can maybe bring in another, bottom three, bottom four D-man. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point with Gavrikov, because I think he's really developed into like a solid NHL, like, middle pairing defenseman. I think wonder if that maybe made Nuttavaara a bit more expendable. That's all I can really think of where him getting on the trade block came from.
Yeah, and I definitely take your point about missed opportunity. I mean, how many million do you think gets this PLD deal done? He's 22, had a really good playoff, but, you know, kind of like he got 49 points in 70 games this year, 61 and 82 last year.
He's probably looking in like the six-ish.
Yeah, like 6.5. That 5.5 to 6.5 is probably.
I feel like that's a fair range for him at this stage in his career.
Yeah, so depending on what they pay for him, I don't think it'll be close to 9. So they should have some more money to play with. But if they're going to try and sign Dubois and get a guy like Hall or Petrangelo, they would have had to have moved somebody else. I think one of the goalies maybe. Something would have had to have gone there. But, I mean, just kind of bouncing off what we were talking about with Carolina, Columbus is, I mean, they definitely kind of missed an opportunity here to improve their skaters, but their goaltending is, I think it's going to be an excellent point for their team this year. Like, there's going to be such a strength if they both stay healthy and they can both rotate in. I mean, it's just guys you have complete confidence in, right? Like it's going to be real strength for this team. And, you know, maybe because they do have those better goalies, they could spend that money on a forward rather than defense. So we'll see. We're seeing a lot of RFAs that haven't signed yet and UFAs. And so, you know, these teams aren't done. They could look a little different when the season starts, whenever that will be. So I'm just kind of reserving a little bit of, I don't know, I'm just hesitating a little bit on this.
Yeah, it's hard to get a definitive look or evaluation when it's still ink.
Yeah, it's just, it seems like they're not done. Well, they're obviously not done yet with PLD, but something else might be in the works. We'll move along here to the New Jersey Devils. So what did you give them?
For New Jersey, I gave them a C+. I think they didn't lose anything major. You know, Corey Schneider, he's been a part of that organization for a long time, but he's never really, or the last few seasons anyways, he has not been very good. He's been injured, he's been in the minors, he just hasn't refound his game, and, you know, in terms of quality of ice time or whatever, he's not, his loss isn't going to make too much of a difference there. They lost Joey Anderson, but they bring in Andreas Johnsson in that trade. They, you know, Mirko Mueller, he's okay-ish, but they bring in Dmitry Kulikov and Ryan Murray to kind of cover the bottom pairing defenseman stuff. And they ultimately bring in Corey Crawford as a backup goalie for Blackwood. And, you know, Crawford's a hell of a good goalie. He's experienced as hell. You know, ton of great time with really good teams in Chicago. I don't know how much more he has left given his injury history, but at the very least, they bring in a great guy to mentor and train up Mackenzie Blackwood, who showed last year to be probably one of the better goalies in the league in his rookie year. That's going to be a huge, huge point for a huge moving forward for his career. Jesper Bratton and Blackwood, they both need to be re-signed yet. They're still RFAs, but, you know, they've got tons of cap space. There's no real issue or concern that they won't get signed. A bit of a question mark move for me, though, was Lindy Ruff as head coach. I don't know. I feel like he might be a little bit of a, you know, an air quotes here, dinosaur for today's NHL, but we'll have to wait and see how he handles the NHL, because I don't think he's been a head coach for a few years.
Yeah, now. Has he been a head coach since Buffalo?
Dallas. Or,
I guess, the Stars. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a question mark on my notes here as well. I like the addition of Andreas Johnsson and Crawford as well. I think Crawford kind of showed people he's not done with his playoff performance against Edmonton. I think he's still got something in the tank, but yeah, I mean, definitely kind of risky with, you know, if he gets one more hit to the head, could be done. But definitely a talented goaltender, someone that can definitely play backup to Mackenzie Blackwood, and yeah, they've got $17 million in cap space, so, you know, between Jesper Bratt and Blackwood, that's, I don't know, maybe like not even half that, right? Like, that's probably going to be like,
oh yeah, six. At the most. Like, Blackwood's had one season, basically, maybe a 1.5.
Like, he might get something comparable to Elvis's deal.
That would be, yeah, probably.
Like,
that would
what
be
is like 2.8 Elvis or something? Is 4. Oh, okay. So, yeah, I mean, something comparable to that. But I like their additions to their defense. Did the PK Subban thing kind of didn't really work out as well as they wanted. And adding in Murray and Kulikov is I think are good moves. And then Lindy Ruff, I don't know. That seems weird, but
it was a little bit out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think they're kind of on a tangent of rebuilding. They've got a lot of great young players, and they just kind of gotta, you know, keep getting incrementally better, and I think they'll get to where they want to be, but it's going to be a tough division for them. I ended up giving them a B-. I guess I never even said my grade. So it was a little bit nicer, but, you know, it's still kind of a question mark for that Lindy Ruff thing. It's like, if it works out, that's awesome, but if it doesn't, it's, I don't know. Strange. Okay, well, we'll stay in the general area, and we'll go to the New York Islanders. I'll start on this one. Again, this is a team that has a really large RFA that's pending, Matt Barzal. And if they can re-sign him, this will change the grade. But I gave them a C-, which I think is generous. They lost Boychuk. He retired. That's very unfortunate. Kudos to him on a great career. They lost Devon Taves, which is a huge, huge deal. I think that absolutely sucks for their D line. It's just brutal there. They didn't just lose D-men. They also lost Thomas Greiss. He moved out of town, but that kind of opens up a spot for Ilya Sorokin to come in. Metro is going to be interesting. There's a lot of like young Russian goalies. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Cause I mean, Washington Islanders, there's a lot. Rangers, I think Shesterkin's Russian goalie, right?
Yeah, and I think Georgiev is too, right? Anyway, and then Varlamov. So, I don't know. I didn't see them really bringing in anything super significant in this offseason. If anything, really, I think
literally their only acquisition that I can find is Sorokin, and he was technically theirs anyways because he was a draft pick of theirs. He was like in their organization already. They just signed him.
Right. So. On my in here, I had just have JG Pageau first full season. So they obviously traded and signed Pageau. So we'll get to see him in a full season for the first time on Long Island. So that'll be interesting to see how he kind of fits into the team, you know, a little more long term. It looked like he kind of, you know, still had his signature hustle and everything, but plays a little bit deeper in the lineup in there than he did in Ottawa. And then Sorokin, he's kind of highly touted. We'll see how he does, probably playing backup to Varlamov, but it really comes down to this Barzal thing. So I found this one really hard to grade because it's like, yeah, there's no real additions. There's just people leaving, but Barzal is just a huge part of this team, and they've only got $3.9 million in cap space. That's not going to get it done. So, what has to happen here to get him signed?
I think they're going to be able to find a bit of cap space out of Johnny Boychuk and his $6 million. I'm not sure how that works on the other, like the team's end, putting, you know, with the LTIR and like Robota Island and all that, but they might be able to get a couple million there.
On top of what's already showing on Cap Friendly, because he's showing in the IR right now.
Oh, is that factored in then? Okay.
So I think what's on Cap Friendly right now today on November 30th does take that into effect, 3.9 million projected cap space. And so Johnny Boychuk has 6 mil, that's on IR. So I just don't know. I mean, Barzal's going to make more money. He's going to want more money than Dubois. So I just don't know how they're going to fit him in there, unless they move somebody else.
Andrew Ladd's probably a strong candidate for that to some extent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably your number one suspect there. I think they're probably going to be calling Steve Yzerman to do him a solid. That's kind of the guy I think would be on first. He's on speed dial, I think, for some of these teams. Does it take to get that to happen? Because Barzal is not a player that you let go of, so you're doing whatever you can to re-sign him.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Especially on a team with as little offense as the Islanders have already, they can't afford their leading scorer to get unsigned as an RFA of all things.
You do not want to lose your most dynamic forward when you're not exactly bursting at the seams with that type of player. I give them a C-, but I don't know. That could be a F if they lose Barzal, or that could be, you can move up to maybe a low B if they sign him. What did you give them?
I gave them a D, and that's even if they get Barzal signed, that's staying a D, because ultimately the team's going to be about the same. Like you noted, they did pretty much nothing to improve the team. You talked about the defense and goalies they lost. They've also let Derek Brassard, Matt Martin, and Tom Kunal go into UFA. So they lose, two-thirds of their bottom line that actually was really good. Maybe not offensively, but they were strong at shutting down other teams. They also lose or let Derek Brassard go, and Brassard was one of their only secondary scorers who had any, production. Most of their guys were putting less than 20 points up. Brassard had about 32. So that's another huge loss right there to a team that already struggles offensively. And, their defense is now worse. They lost Devon Taves. Boychuk's the third pairing defenseman, but he's still a valuable part of it with his play style and his leadership and veteran experience. They also haven't re-signed Andy Green, who was there for a little bit. They're probably going to want to bring him in because now they're looking at Noah Dobson in his sophomore season, his first time as a regular on a third pairing. You're going to want to have a veteran guy like Green there to, guide him in and help, cover the defensive side of his game. And ultimately, they're, like you said, their only key addition to the lineup was Ilya Sorokin. So the roster's worse, and they get a D because of that. If Barzal doesn't get signed, then it goes down to an F probably. If he gets signed, it stays a D for me.
Yeah, I think if Barzal leaves, that's just is whatever's below F, that's what it'll be.
We're going to start inventing new letter grades here. We're going to go, what's next? We just go follow the alphabet, go with G.
Yeah. Well, G could be confused as good. So, I don't know. Really,
okay,
really,
we'll skip G,
really
go
bad.
H for horrible.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Or just WTF. Just real bad.
That's a good one, too.
Okay, well, again, I guess we'll stay in the general area and we'll move on to the New York Rangers. So, what did you give the Blue Shirts, Sean?
I feel that this was a very average offseason for the team. I gave them a C. They, to me, did a lot of maintaining and re-signing players and just staying stagnant. Their key addition was Lafreniere. their defense got a major boost with the addition of Jack Johnson. That's going to be a huge impact on
major
the lineup
boost.
One way or the other. Losing Henrik Lundqvist, to me, is a huge hurt to the locker room. He was probably, to the locker room, to the identity of the team. He's been there for so long. He's been such a key piece of that franchise for years. So to have him leave the organization is going to be a huge... There's going to be a huge void to fill there. They lose Jesper Fast. Elias Anderson wasn't really part of the team much anyways. And Mark Stahl. They can probably replace a lot of what they provided. But overall, it was just a pretty average offseason. They didn't really get better or significantly worse. How did you feel about them?
I gave them a C as well. You read my mind. They re-signed guys like Ryan Strome and drafted Lafreniere. They were lucky enough to move up and get the number one pick. So, he'll probably play with the team this season, so that's significant. And then Jack Johnson makes the team actively worse. Now they've got Brent...
Like you said that so casually.
They've got Brennan Smith and Jack Johnson on defense. I don't know. And I think DeAngelo. That's a really. Yeah, they got
at least
Tony
D'Angelo's offensive.
Yeah, and they've got Truba, overpaid, but solid D-men. Ryan Lindgren, Adam Fox, solid younger players. So I think the Lundqvist thing, it had to happen, but I definitely think it hurts the team. There's not a lot of guys who have been there for a super significant amount of time now. You've got, I guess, Chris Kreider. He's probably the longest tenured Ranger now. But yeah, I mean, Zibanejad, and even he came through trade. So it's a very different team, and I think, you know, it's sad to see Lundqvist go. But they did have two younger goalies that were playing better, and Shesterkin is one of those other Russian goalies that is highly touted, and we'll see how he and Georgiev play together. Just of note, I think we've mentioned this before, but the Rangers have $12.9 million in buyout money that they're paying this season.
I was just going to mention that.
And that is absurd. So 5.5 to Lundqvist, 6.08 to Shattenkirk, and then 1.1 million to Girardi, 300K to Ryan Spooner. And it's just funny to me that that's only 1.3 million more than Panarin makes. So just imagine the amount of players that they could have for that money. But once those
luckily,
all kind of go away.
Luckily, like 9 million of that comes off the books after this season. They're down to only 4 million for next year.
Yeah. So next year, they'll have a lot more breathing room, which is lucky for them because there's a lot of contracts that are coming up. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a super average off season. They were able to keep some guys, had to let some guys go. You know, sign Jack Johnson, the regular stuff. Just kind of a C. I think they did what they needed to do. Bringing in Jack Johnson is kind of a negative, so it brings it down a bit. I think they're still going to be super exciting to watch next year, especially if Lafreniere, you know, lives up to the hype. Because they'll have, if Kako can have a good season, Lafreniere, pardon me, the bread man, Zibanejad, Ryan Strom, all doing their thing. So,
yeah, they might not be very good, but they're going to be very exciting. It'll be fun to watch them. Just don't get too involved in them or too invested in them. Pardon me.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, we'll move over to Pennsylvania then. We'll move over to Philadelphia Flyers. So I'll start. Same grade, C. Looks like Matt Niskanen retired kind of abruptly. Wasn't expecting that. He looked like he fit in really nicely playing with Provorov. And I remember joking before the season that he would probably fit in and play with Provorov well because he played with Orlov for so long in Washington that he would probably know a little bit of Russian and be able to communicate with Provorov. But I think that kind of surprised a lot of people. Not sure if it surprised the team, but they went out and signed Erik Gustafsson, who had been traded to the Calgary Flames at the deadline from Chicago. So he signs there. And then Philip Myers he's still awaiting a contract as an RFA. And so that's really everything I saw that was kind of significant. Maybe I'm missing something, but it seems like they lost a D-man, they signed a D-man, they need to sign one more D-man. I don't know. Seems like they didn't really improve. Didn't really get worse. Meh. Gritty makes some good memes.
That sums it up pretty nicely. Just meh.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I got. Do you have anything to add to that?
I think you're forgetting and missing one key factor here that should give the Philadelphia Flyers an A-plus offseason, and that's the emergence of Kevin Hayes as a top 10 forward in the NHL.
Yes, of course.
I think his development, hit the addition of that Kevin Hayes, is going to be an amazing acquisition. Going to push them over the top, A-plus offseason.
Yeah.
But in reality, In reality, you're right on the money there with what you said. You know, pretty much nothing of major note for them. Eric Gustafson, I don't see him as a particularly great defender. He kind of had that one amazing season offensively, and then after that, it just kind of trailed off a bit. So what it does do to me and what I've been seeing is that it kind of makes Gostisbehere a bit more expendable because he's kind of the same type of defender. So it kind of might spell the end of Gostisbehere if they're going to put him on the trade block and try and move him out. They also at forward have lost Tyler Pitlick, Derek Grant, and Nate Thompson. They're all kind of depth forwards, but you know, they're all valuable in their own way. For an actual grade, I gave them a D+ because the team did kind of get a little bit worse, but they also didn't make any improvements to replace any of that. They just lost a bunch of depth, basically. So I see the roster, unless the prospects, they've got like Morgan Frost, who did fairly well in his, you know, tests or whatever. He could come and fill in a spot, but I don't think they did much to get better, so I just kind of settled down as below average, so D+ for them.
One cool thing is that they did re-sign Oscar Lindblom for a 3-year contract.
Yes, that's the thing I forgot to mention, is that they re-signed a lot of their guys. So you mentioned Lindblom. They were also able to re-sign Nolan Patrick. Hopefully he's feeling better and ready to go. Justin Braun, Robert Haig, Brian Elliott, and Nicholas Obey-Kubel all re-signed. So they were able to maintain their roster at least, which is a positive sign.
Philly's poised to be like a feel-good team next year if Lindblom and Nolan Patrick have kind of bounce backs. I think Lindblom is probably more likely at this point. I don't know what, you know, training after coming back from cancer looks like to get back into game shape, but you know, for the season, especially if it's compressed, but it sounds like he's, you know, closer at least than Nolan Patrick with his migraine issue that he has. But if they both come back into the lineup and play, that'd be awesome. Okay, well, we'll move on to the other Pennsylvania team here, the Pittsburgh Penguins. What did you give the Pens?
So Pittsburgh, to me, had a very bad offseason. I gave them a D-. I'm looking here, their arrivals. I'm going to talk about Kasperi Kapanen. That trade, they gave up a first-round pick and a couple of prospects, I think, for Kapanen, Pontus Aberg, and one other player that I can't remember. And immediately that first-round pick turns into Rodion Amarov, who is lighting it up in his, you know, his time in Europe right now. So that's immediately looking like a complete loss for Pittsburgh to have given up that, you know, first-round pick for a team that's very quickly jumping the shark here. They're going to need their prospects to, you know, even attempt to maintain anything without a full rebuild. And they bring in Kapanen, who's kind of perpetually underperformed in Toronto. They get Colton Sevier and Mike Matheson from Florida. Now, Sevier's a solid, you know, depth forward. No shame there. Mike Matheson is not a good defenseman. And to add on to that, they also bring in Cody Ceci, who is also not a very good defenseman.
Good things come in pairs.
Apparently, let's put them on the ice together and see what happens, right?
Please.
And Mark Jankowski down is another depth forward. Now, over this offseason, they have lost Patrick Hornquist, Nick Bjugstad, Connor Sherry, Patrick Marleau, Justin Schultz, Jack Johnson, and Matt Murray. So those are a lot of key players for Pittsburgh. I mean, Matt Murray, Justin Schultz, Connor Sherry, Patrick Hornquist, they've all, you know, kind of part of the Pittsburgh identity. So they're losing a lot of their team right there, and they're not really getting much in return to replace that. So to me, that's just a very bad offseason for a team that is very, very quickly going to be in serious trouble. And, you know, D- for me to address that. How did you feel about them?
I gave them an F. Maybe this is my, you know what? It's not my anti-Pittsburgh bias as a Capitals
sure?
fan. I think the way this team is being run is detrimental to the success of the team. And I want to see every team do well and do better. Even though I don't like the Penguins, I think that they're moving in the wrong direction, and it's just bad. And I don't like the Penguins, but I love Sidney Crosby, and if Crosby won another cup, I'd be happy for him. But I just don't think that they're moving towards that. With the cup window closing, I think they're doing like, it's almost like they're doing everything they can to make it as challenging as possible to say, hey, remember in 2017 when we won the cup with no defense? Let's do that again. because, yeah, they got rid of Jack Johnson. They bought him out. But then what do? They bring in Cody Ceci, who is, like, almost the exact same issue. They bring in Mike Matheson, who is, again, like, that same level, but also paid more. And so I just don't understand what is going on. I just don't like it. I like it as a Capitals fan, but I don't like it as a hockey fan because it's just like they're clearly not making good moves here. And then that Kapanen thing, he was an original draft pick of the Penguins, and so they traded a first for him when they could have just kept him in the beginning. Which of course, like, hindsight 2020, but that price is just absurd for him, and especially when Toronto team that is known to be up against the cap, why are you paying a first? So I just don't understand that. The loss of Matt Murray sucks. I think Tristan Jarry is definitely a good goaltender, but Casey DeSmith, I mean, it's kind of this to me is almost like the Carolina situation. I might have a little bit more faith in Jarry, but I think DeSmith is kind of untested, unproven, and then this season is going to be a weird one, and I don't think you want to be rolling the dice on goalies in a weird season, so strange. I think they could have done well by, like, getting a guy like, you know, Grice or something like that. I don't know how they'd fit him in, but a proven guy. The loss of you know, those core guys like Hornqvist, Schultz, Murray. I don't know. I mean, you had that sentiment coming out of Chicago when they got rid of Saad that the core was unhappy. And I wonder if there's any of that going on in Pittsburgh where there's always that joke where, you know, this guy got signed because Crosby likes him. And that happened with Jack Johnson and stuff. But it's like, well, what does Sid think about these moves?
Yeah, isn't that half the reason Sherry came back is because Sidney Crosby wanted to play with him again?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then yeah, so let him go again.
Yeah, I just don't think that Rutherford is building this team to be successful because, you know, it's kind of like that Brandon Tanev one was almost like the litmus test where it was like, what is going on here? Because you're paying this guy, you give him like a huge contract, no trade clause, term and salary for like a depth forward guy. It's just like, you know, all of those pay bumps that you give people add up, and at the end of the day, you can't bring in the guys to make you more competitive. I just don't like it.
Yeah, that's
definite F.
Going back to where you mentioned about the cap thing with Johnson and Matheson, that Johnson was making $4 million a year, right? I think.
So they bought him out. Yeah, use that 1.1. That's his buyout penalty. 3.2.
Okay. So he was making that, and then they cap dump him they buy him out to dump some cap, and then they bring in, like you said, Michael Matheson. Basically the same type of underwhelming bottom pairing defenseman who has horrible possession numbers, who's making 4.875 for another 5-6 seasons.
More than Brian Dumoulin.
Yeah, and Dumoulin's actually an effective defenseman.
Second highest D-man on the team, and Cody Ceci for 1.25. So they effectively turn a, like, $3 million problem into, like, a $6 million problem.
Yeah, so that's horrible, horrible cap management right there.
Like, yeah, they flesh out the lineup, and CC's a right-handed D-man who got drafted higher in the draft, but it's got to be someone cheaper but better that you could have brought in. I just don't like it. Definite F for me. Just bringing in Matheson, CC, and Kapanen for a first, terrible, terrible. So, yeah. Not happy with the moves that they made as a hockey fan, but as a fan of a team in the Metro, I'm okay with it.
See, there's the bias coming through.
Yeah, there it is. I just want to let it be known that it's not just my dislike for the Penguins making me want to give them an F. Like, oh, Penguins? F. No, it's the moves they made make the team worse, objectively.
I'm pretty sure we could find the stats that prove it.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely some advanced stats for Matheson and CC out there. Not happy. Okay, well, let's move on then to the team that I am a fan of, Washington Capitals. I gave them a C+. They brought in Henrik Lundqvist. They brought in Trevor Van Riemsdyk. They re-signed Brendan Dillon. They signed Justin Schultz. And they brought in new head coach Peter Laviolette. What did they lose? Most notably, they lost Braden Holtby and Kovalchuk. There's a few other guys who kind of were in and out of the lineup a little bit that they lost as well, like Travis Boyd. I think he signed with Toronto. I always liked him. But, so they added Justin Schultz for $4 million, re-signed Brendan Dillon for $3.9 million, and Trevor Van Riemsdyk for $800K. And so they kind of, on paper, they shored up the D. But I think we've spoken to this a little bit before when we were talking to the Hockey Minute guys. We see like Schultz is kind of a weird addition to the team, kind of like a John Carlson light. Maybe a little bit on the expensive side, but you know, if he can play power play too and kind of walk that blue line a bit and play more like he did a couple seasons ago for the Penguins, I think it'll be good. But if he continues to kind of slide down in his numbers, not looking forward to that. I know I did mention this before, but now they've got 7 defensemen on the roster here that are 29 or 30. And so that's a good place to be in right now. But as those guys get older, slow down, not so great. And so I'm a little nervous about that, and I'm also sad about Holtby leaving. I liked Holtby. I'm happy that he's on the Canucks, but he was the guy. I am sad he had to leave town, but I understand it. Ilya Samsonov is the guy for the future. I'm just nervous about the goalie situation in the defense, Sean. I'm really nervous. If Samsonov doesn't pan out, what do we do? And then Henrik Lundqvist is here for a year, so yeah, that's not a big risk, but you know, this is probably his last contract in the NHL.
Based off his career trajectory, yeah. He probably only has a year or two left at the most.
So, I mean, Samsonov hurt himself in an ATV accident and didn't play in the qualifying round or the first round this year. So if that significantly impacted his ability to play hockey, I don't really know what the Caps are going to do about that. But yeah, I'm nervous. Forwards are kind of the same as last year. So confident in the forward group. And I'm really interested to see what Peter Laviolette does, because he's known for having some immediate impacts. And I think this is a team that could really be turned around and, you know, make a significant playoff push given the right coaching and right direction. They've been there, they know what it takes, they just need a better coach. They need a coach that used to coach in Nashville. They they need some actual direction, whereas Todd Reirden did not give them it. He was a first time head coach, and I think that this is a team with a lot of veterans on it, and it would be really hard to go into that room and try and tell them what to do when, you know, they feel that they know more than you. So I'm interested to see what Laviolette's approach is going to be. All right, well, what did you give them?
I actually completely agree with you. I gave them a C+ as well. I think Trevor Van Riemsdyk is going to be a solid addition for their bottom four guys. Justin Schultz, like you said, questionable addition. I don't quite see why they would pay him $4 million but let, you know, Braden Holtby walk. know, maybe contract length, you know, that's a factor, but I just don't see that $4 million going to Justin Schultz as being particularly good use of that space at the state, the team, and the roster. But overall, it's probably a decent transition, or, you know, at the very least, just a lateral move. They lose Radko Gudas, but they also kept Brendan Dillon, who in his short time in Washington after the trade deadline proved to be a decent fit. I think he's probably a bit better of a defensive defenseman than Gudas, and I think Dillon will be a valuable part of that lineup. The loss of Braden Holtby hurts. He was such a huge piece of that team for so long that it's, again, the same thing as Lundqvist in New York, that is going to be a huge identity piece for the team that's gone. But then they go and bring in the former identity piece in New York, Lundqvist in himself. So he's going to be good for especially Samsonov to help him adjust to being a starter on his own. I think the key transaction was that head coaching spot, was bringing in Peter Laviolette. This is a team that's probably in the last couple years of their cup window, because Ovechkin, Backstrom, like Oshie, they're all getting older. They're all kind of probably going to start slowing down right away. So they need to bring in someone who can get this team going quickly. Like you said, Laviolette kind of comes in and gets an immediate impact. He kind of does that same thing where he goes into an organization, he does really well in the first couple years, and then he just starts trailing off. So if Laviolette can get them another deep playoff run for the next couple of seasons, that'll, you know, put a nice end cap on the Capitals, this era of the Capitals. Much better than what had been happening the last couple of years, where they go into the playoffs and completely disappoint in the first round, getting beat by Carolina and the Islanders in five games. Stuff like that just isn't what you expect out of a team with the pedigree of the Capitals. So that's the key addition for me, and that's what puts them at an above average offseason, because the roster was pretty lateral to me.
Yeah, definitely a more succinct way of putting it than I did. I think that coaching change is going to be the key. And everything I've watched of Laviolette with the Capitals so far, I'm excited about. I think he's, you know, talked a lot about coming in and just working with people, like working with everyone and individually and getting to know the guys, and just, you know, trying to instill that success mindset. So yeah, I'm intrigued by what will happen there. I know I'll have more confidence in him making moves on the fly in a game than Todd Reirden. And to be honest, probably more than Barry Trotz as well. Barry Trotz showed that he was very reluctant to make changes, and then when he finally did, they actually went to the cup. Yeah, we'll see. It's just, you know, can his goaltending staff work with Samsonov and help him develop how he needs to? Has yet to be seen. But not the worst offseason of the bunch, for sure.
No, in that division was absolutely terrible this offseason. The Capitals were honestly one of the better ones, even though their moves were pretty, you know, uninteresting overall.
Yeah, I mean, the best of the bunch for me was the Devils, but they need to do more. They need to apply themselves. whereas everybody else was kind of C. A lot of Cs.
The New Jersey Jesse Pinkmans.
And I also don't think a D minus exists, just for reference. I think he's got to go all in and give him an F.
An F would have been if they kept Jack Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine half their D being Matheson, CeCe, and Johnson? That would have been great.
I'd start watching Penguins games just to watch that. Just be fun to watch.
Yeah, that would be great. How many times can a team get scored on?
How many turnovers in one shift?
How many penalties can Jack Johnson take on one shift coming out of the penalty box?
He'll never make it to the bench. He just gets out and takes another penalty the entire game.
Yeah. And then Mike Matheson throws Pettersson to the ground.
Except he has to be careful of that now, because there's a Pettersson on Pittsburgh's defense.
Right. Yeah, true. He just body slams his D partner.
That would not be good.
Definitely not. The only other thing that I have for this week's episode is that I have an update for you. Coming through on my promise, I have ordered a Miro Heiskanen jersey.
Excellent. Which style did you get it in?
I got the Victory Green jersey, so the home, and I got it with a Stanley Cup Finals patch on it.
Ooh.
Because
splurging there.
Why not? Yeah, they were there. I had I was tempted to put a C on it or an A.
Might be getting ahead of yourself.
Just because I think he'll be when. Yeah. I put the order in a couple weeks ago, and it's gonna be made this week. So that's exciting. Adidas Victory Green with the Stanley Cup Finals patch. So I'm excited about that.
We'll have to feature that for a week in one of our episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be on the Instagram stories. The nicest jersey I've bought. So I'm excited about that. I'm true to my word, Sean. I just had to wait for a sale.
You'll get there eventually. It'll be worth it.
Yeah, but it's inspired me to want other jerseys, because as soon as I ordered that one, I was like, you know who else was a really good defenseman? Nick Lidstrom.
Yeah, that would be a good jersey to get.
Yeah.
You're just going to have a collection of great defenseman jerseys just on your wall, just hanging.
Yeah, I'll have my Ovechkin jersey and then just a bunch of D-men. Be like, no one compares on forward.
Just be a shrine to Ovechkin. So I think that wraps things up for this time here on ClapperCast. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to our show on any podcast platform, and then spread around the good word of ClapperCast. To keep up to date with the latest content, including our NHL team preview series starting December 1st, with previews dropping one a day on our website, clappercast.com, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at ClapperCast Media or on Twitter at ClapperCast. We'll be back next time with more hockey talk.